When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is a Mayo Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium. Gerard Mayo on with us in a couple hours, around 9. Before that, Boomer Esiason coming up at 8. And the news of Courtney at 8:20. By the way, when it comes to the news, the world is shook after what Kate Winslet said about why Jack had to drown in Titanic. Mm. So we will get to that coming up during the news.
I'll never let go.
thank you, Curtis. Where do you want to start, Shine?
Let's begin with your New England Patriots, Greg. Drake May got his first full game win yesterday against the Chicago Bears, and then at the beginning of his press conference, came up to the podium and had this to say about his defense.
Put up for the defense, man. Clap it up. Somebody else clap up. There we go. Appreciate you. There we go.
Great. Let's start with that defense. What was it like to watch them perform on a day like?
Man, it's a good feeling sitting over there. You know, as offense, as a quarterback, that type of defense performance. You know, I feel like, you know, all, you know, the 11 were out there at a time, but I know 15, 20 played. Just credit to them in, you know, practice this week. Man, it's just kind of a good taste of, you know, what it looks like, you know, what it looked like for me in training camp. And they get after you, mix up shell, mix up coverage, mix up blitz packages. It's pretty cool to watch. And it's good to be on the other side of the ball. So I got to make some better decisions and keep those guys in good field position.
All right. I like the kid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. Seems like every time, you know, things maybe go bad, he takes accountability for it. And, you know, then your defense plays well. He gives them credit. So I got no issues with him and his mental toughness and his whole character makeup. I got no issues with that.
Would it kill Ken to do that ever? You know, to just say, good job, you know, support us in that way. I mean, my God.
I feel like Ken is very supportive.
I'm kidding.
Right?
Oh, he does okay. A great right. job.
It's just you,
Ken's
Curtis.
More of a Mac guy.
Yeah, Ken has always been a Mac guy.
All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's pivot over to a different superstar in this city. That would be Jason Tatum. Yesterday, the Celtics beat the Milwaukee Bucks, the 2-8 Milwaukee Bucks, by the way. Jason Tatum suffered an ankle injury during the game and was pretty upset about there being a no call. This was Jason Tatum talking about that after the game.
Coaches kind of calmed me down. It's a tough situation, right? Like, get my fair share of texts throughout the season, rightfully so, unrightfully so. But it's certain calls I just feel like you can't miss, right? Your job is protect the guys on the court, protect the shooter. That's something I could have been out for 6 weeks or whatever. So for it to be a no call, let alone they didn't even get to review it or look at it, right? Then, you know, I lose my cut somebody out, and then I get a tech, and it's like a double whammy. So, I mean, that is frustrating when all you get is the sorry, we missed it. You know, your ankle's swollen, you got to figure it out. I definitely was frustrated.
It's a Kawhi Leonard rule right there. I agree with Tatum. Well, if you go to the games and you get to see, he does not get nearly the calls that the other superstars like Giannis and some of these other guys.
He's asking for it. He has no problem asking for him.
Well, which he should, rightfully so.
I agree.
But he doesn't. He gets killed and he doesn't get the calls.
I went to that game Friday night, which was a great game, and I was like, from jump, he's in the paint and he's yelling 1, 2, 3 on 3 seconds trying to get a call. So I give him I give them a lot of credit. But that, I mean, what's that, 9 of the last 11 that they've won?
I think Celtics? Yeah, I think they're 9-2.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, they're off to a good start here.
Yeah, it's. I think, you know, we were all hoping for 82-0. Now we're looking at 80-2. So let's see if we can pull that one off.
Well, Greg had to sweat that one against the Nets Friday night. I'm very happy they came through.
Big game for Pete Pritch.
Yeah, your boy Pete Pritch. He's back.
On Friday night.
And, Greg, that's the thing, though. Like, the Celtics now are what the Lakers or the Jordan Bulls. Like, every team that plays them this year is going to have their A game. Like, there's not going to be those nights where they're against a team that just doesn't show up or load management. The Celtics are really going to have to face the best, like they saw Friday night with the Nets.
Yeah. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, Greg, we watched as the Carolina Panthers beat the New York Giants over in Germany yesterday, in Munich, actually. And Roger Goodell, before that game, said, well, there's a plan to be in multiple international cities as early as next year. Here are some of the cities Goodell had in mind.
We are definitely going to Spain.
Okay,
we announced that. We expect to return to Mexico City.
Okay.
We expect to return to Brazil.
Ooh.
We will certainly be back in the UK.
Love that.
Also looking at the potential of another game in the UK area, uh-huh. In Ireland, possibly.
What?
Yes.
In Ireland?
That's a possibility.
Dublin, Ireland.
Yeah. Who was interviewing him? What?
OMG. She was very excited.
LMAO.
So Dublin, Ireland, I mean, sets itself up for the New England Patriots. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to the love between these two cities, Boston and Dublin.
I wouldn't know. I wasn't invited.
Ireland and America. Ireland and New England. It seems like it ought to be the New England Patriots that play in Dublin next
Absolutely.
Season, I would say. So
show trip, can we actually do that this time?
We should.
I failed on London. That's my fault.
Yeah, no, but I think we should. And, of course, you know, I don't know if you really want to go city to city, you probably ought to be the Bears. Chicago, another big city with when it comes to Irish influence in this country. So that'll be awesome.
It'll be the Steelers because of the ambassador connection that the Rooney grandfather was the ambassador in Ireland. Mm. So that's the connection that
All
I
right.
make.
Yeah, and I think you have to look at the 2025 schedule to see who would potentially be on the schedule for the Patriots. That would be a big game. I'm not sure if they play Chicago next year. As long as it's a good game over there, like that Giants game.
Oh, awful.
That was so pathetic.
That was disgusting.
Oh my God, it was so bad. And then we saw who did Jacksonville play over there? They played New England, right?
And the Bears.
Yeah. And the Bears. It's like, I would. Why not have next week? You're gonna have Buffalo and KC. Can't you do
wait,
a game?
Wait, what do you want to flex the international?
No,
game?
No. I'm just saying, like when you're building the overseas schedule, say, okay, let's go with two teams that we know. Or
well, the reason that Jacksonville plays there all the time is because they are trying to build the opportunity to have an international franchise. Like the owner of the Jaguars has said that he might be willing to have his team play over there full time, right?
Right. So, well, that was up until – you're right. There, that's the purpose of this. Eventually, I think they want to get a European division so that there's four teams over there that play each other.
All season long.
All season. That's their 10 games. To 15 years down the line. The next thing is the Super Bowl. That's what's they're wetting the whistle because this used to be preseason.
Right.
And, Courtney, I think you might have the opponent. I'm looking at the 2025 Patriots. They host the Steelers, so that could be their home game in Ireland.
In Ireland for the New England
Patriots.
You'll
never get a team stationed over there full season long. It's just too difficult to do.
I would have said you're never getting a Super Bowl overseas.
Super Bowl is one game. I don't think you're going to get players because players are really going to fight that. I don't think you're going to get players in the union to agree to having a team over
because
there.
Because of the travel?
Because of the
travel. They play a game over there anyway. Like, I mean, not, you know, certainly.
But you're going to have to now live over there.
I have, actually. I lived in England.
But why? They don't care.
Well, they do. The cost of living is going to be completely different.
They'll match all that stuff. They'll fix that. That's what they – when American companies and people go abroad, they take care of the cost difference.
Yes. So if you play for a team that's stationed over there, you're going to get more money just based off of that?
you will get the equivalent of what you would make here based on what it costs to live there.
So then that would mean that the veteran minimum would be higher over there?
I'm certain that despite the fact that the NFLPA is totally toothless, that they will at least get that. They will get equal pay for what it, the additional cost would be to play overseas.
See, I just think that becomes too much. And there are a lot of guys who are not going to want to live over there. You know, there are just guys that are going to be like, I don't want to live in Ireland. Like, I don't, you know.
Well, no, I think it would be London would be where they
London.
They would target London
right,
first.
But guys would be like, I don't want to live in London.
Why not?
Because there are a lot of people that might be from, like, I know I wouldn't want to have to live in London. I knew nothing about London.
That. Okay. But that's this is life. I mean,
right,
I,
right.
Like,
but if I was part of a union and I would,
what was the difference between if you would had to live in London or you had to live in Minnesota? Like, you
a
didn't
major
know,
difference.
You didn't know anything about Minnesota.
Yeah, but there was a major difference. What, Minnesota's what a 2.5 hour flight.
Okay, so if you have to go
for
play
family,
out,
friends,
if you went and played in Seattle, like
right,
that's the same amount of time
right,
to go
right, but
to
I,
Seattle.
No,
or
no,
go to
I I understand that, but I wouldn't have a problem with, you know, potentially raising my kids in Seattle, which
right.
is America,
American schools,
yeah, completely
thing.
Different.
Right.
You know?
Your thing with London is the language barrier.
No, not the language barrier. The whole thing. You might think it's cool, but ain't no, listen, there are going to be guys that are going to be from, like, you know, deep south. They're going to be like, damn, I ain't moving to no London.
Okay. I mean, I think.
You get it because you wouldn't mind it.
Right. I think there are a lot of guys. I would assume there are a lot of guys who wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
I beg to differ on that.
Here's where the players will be okay with it. It's a revenue split, 51 owners, 49 players. If playing in England brings an additional TV deal of $1 billion, the players see all that money. Like, that's what this is for. Goodell wants this to be a $25 billion a year business.
No, believe me, I get the
They're
money
pretty
aspect.
Pretty much tapped out in America. They'll add another game, which will add more money, so they'll be at 18. But after you get to 18, the revenue streams kind of run out in the United States.
I bet we never see this in our lifetime. So if it does happen, we'll be long gone.
All right. What else, Sean?
One more quick one for you here. This one's a funny one. Yesterday, after the Saints had an upset win over the Atlanta Falcons, which I know probably spoiled part of Courtney's parlay, the new head coach of the New Orleans Saints, or interim head coach Darren Rizzi, spoke and talked about what he did pregame that he found kind of funny.
This is how my day started. I get down here to the stadium, I get down here to Superdome, I go in the head coach's locker room, which, you know, I've never used before, right? So here I am early in the morning, I go to the bathroom, and this is how my day started. I clogged the toilet. And I'm like, this is going to be a crappy day. Pun intended.
Okay. Gross. I mean, too much information, really.
Yeah, like something I never needed to know. Right. I don't like to picture people doing their business.
You also don't do it at work. That's not your...
No.
You wait till you get home.
There's easy ways not to clog a toilet. I mean,
don't put a wooden shoe in your toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
That is true.
Please. All right. That is They Said It. A quick back and forth on what they said yesterday in sports. Coming up at 8, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Patriots get a good road win over the Bears. Final score 19-3. Drake May completed 15 of 25 passes for 184 yards and a touchdown. He had an interception on the day as well. The defense had a great game. Caleb Williams was sacked 9 times on the day. After the win, Keon White talked about what we're seeing from those guys right now.
I mean, I've been saying it all year that we are a young defense forced into a lot of starting positions. And what you guys are seeing is us figuring it out. And I feel like we are becoming a more cohesive unit week to week. And I think the trajectory is on the right path and going upward.
Monday Night Football has the Dolphins at Rams, 8:15 kickoff. You can listen to that right here on EEI. And the Celtics beat the Bucks yesterday, 113-107. Jaylen Brown was back. He played 37 minutes where he had 14 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Jason Tatum led the way for his team with a double-double, 31 points and 12 rebounds. That is what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 56 degrees right now in Boston. Afternoon high, sunny in the mid-60s.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and
and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Patriots Monday. We are at Gillette Stadium, and that was Gerard Mayo on Drake May taking the reins and not being happy with the way the offense looked in practice this week and asking to speak to the team and giving them the old rah-rah. Shine was kind of all over Drake May earlier during his lead. I thought he looked better than Caleb Williams did yesterday, certainly.
Yeah, I just don't think that was a very high bar is the issue, right? Caleb was not very good in that game. I also think Drake wasn't – I don't think that was Drake's best by any means. Like, I thought that was a very – against a really good defense, it was kind of an ugly performance all the way around from everybody, but they managed to get the win and played well.
Certainly the interception, like, I don't know how he doesn't see – it was Edwards, I think. I don't know how he doesn't see him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. The sacks – he that first sack was on – on Wenyu, he got blown by.
Right.
We saw the worst snap from a center in a shotgun ever.
Correct.
That was so
second snap of the game.
I mean, there are times when you're sitting there and wondering if they're going to go back to what they were, you know, just a few weeks ago.
The pass to the linebacker, I was like, why am I watching this game?
The kick that didn't end up in the landing zone. The return, they allowed that huge return.
The field position they gave the Bears, it felt like the entire first half, the Bears were first and 10 at the 48.
Like, and good on the defense or bad on the Bears offense. But, yeah.
And Caleb Williams' decision-making, too, there were a couple plays where they were in field goal range, and it wasn't like Caleb Williams had a lot of time. The offensive line sucked. But you have to know to get rid of the football. There was at least two that cost them 3 points each where they were at the 35 and he got sacked at the 42 and then they punted it.
He's trying to force it sometimes, but I think that comes into play with him thinking that he's better than he is at this point in his career.
But those are rookie mistakes, though, because he was kind of playing well for a little bit. He's kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch. So if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you're probably like, oh, we found that guy. He gives us the best chance. So same with Drake May, right? Like when we see Drake May – and even though the game wasn't great that he played, you still go, the reason why they were in position to win that football game or have an opportunity to win that football game, at least from the offensive side of the ball, is because Drake May was able to make plays.
Yeah, I love the way – like, what was the play where he was basically was scrambling and ended up down in the ball with his left hand? To me, he's just he's aware. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make short of that interception. He doesn't make a lot of dumb mistakes with football. I you guys brought it up earlier, and it pains me to say it, but I don't think that message that he gave in the locker room this week to those guys would have been received the same way if that message was being given by Mac Jones.
And so
he certainly has the. He's got the ear of his teammates, which is a great thing to do. He didn't come in here, and his before he got here, he didn't try to trademark any kind of
Mac 10.
any kind of specialty phrase. And whoever's running things behind the scenes for him is doing a great job because he's not a dink.
But also, you know? Think of how it became the story about the team wanting Mac to play. I mean, Drake to play, where the entire groundswell of support was the team saying behind the scenes, we see Drake in practice, he's ready to go. But it wasn't Drake bitching about right. not seeing the field,
right.
which I think is another quality that separates him from Mac, where the team wanted him mm-hmm. to play. They saw him in practice. They saw how he handled the huddle. Another right. thing we don't talk about anymore, all the pre-snap penalties. His handling of the line of scrimmage has improved. Like, little things that are, you know, we took for granted for so long, but there has been a relatively steady growth.
Well, and this was kind of going back to a little bit with your lead, Curtis. This is just going back, the difference that you have as a the difference that a good quarterback makes on a coaching staff. You know, there'll still be some times where you're like, all right, this coaching staff, they're not doing a good enough job with this guy, but this guy does have talent. You know, so when I start to look at Drake May, and you're like, yeah, I watched, you know, some of that Jacksonville game, and, you know, to watch Mac Jones and Sam Darnold, you're like, Jesus, these two guys, like, Sam Darnold was throwing interceptions. You're like, dude, where the hell are you throwing the football?
Dude,
like,
Jared Goff had five of them in a game last night. Five of them. Like, it's just some of these guys that make decisions, make these crazy decisions that I've never seen before. And, like, Drake has, like, a moment, a game, where I'm like, mm-hmm. I don't know if that was a great idea. But that's it. It's, like, one real moment where I'm like, all right, dude, like, figure that out. And it's just, I think a lot of that is him being 22 years old and being wildly talented and still trying to figure it all out.
Like, did you have Drake May 1 in your mock?
Yes, I did.
Your final mock?
Sure did.
Where'd you have Caleb Williams?
I had him too, to be completely fair.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is probably, at this point, I would say a swing and a miss, because Jaden yeah. Daniels is head right. and shoulders better than Caleb Williams.
Well, Jaden Daniels is of the three, is the best so far. Don't
I don't disagree. I don't agree with that. I think Drake May is probably long-term going to be better than Jaden Daniels.
Well, less of a body of work, obviously.
Mm. Well, sure. I think all four of them are pretty good. I think Drake May, I think Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and I think
Curtis. What?
I have your mock right here. It's Caleb Williams number one.
Yeah, because I had Caleb Williams going to the Bears. No, in my big board, I had Drake May won the whole time.
I hate to say it.
There's a very big difference.
I was very confused when you owned up to, oh, yeah, no, I had Drake May won.
I had Drake May won the entire time as on my big board.
But
Greg wasn't talking about your big board. He said your mock.
Oh, okay. Well, Greg gets words wrong all the time. I just assumed he was talking about the big board.
Whoa.
There's a very big difference.
All right. So it's big boardy Adam number one.
Yeah,
but
yeah always. Yeah, Adam, yeah.
Because remember, the mock
but
is
what,
different.
So what are we supposed to go actually, by? Your big board?
Yeah, the big board.
Well, the big board is where I have players ranked personally, how I see them. Right. The mock is where I think they're going to get drafted.
Right. Big board is how
they're
I
very
feel.
Different.
Big board is how I feel during draft talk.
Yeah. Well, that's... I think it's actually a whiteboard, and he has some of his dreams and desires on there as well.
No, I don't manifest like Gerard Mayo. I don't need to do that.
My favorite thing about this.
I'm not blushing. I'm always ready.
NFL mock draft database, and it says accuracy 13%, 956th place.
Well, this year, yeah, it wasn't great.
I mean, there's four people who are 44 people who are.
I'm just having fun.
No, I mean, listen. It's great to know you have the quarterback now. You got to build around him. And so Wiggy brought this up earlier. I think it may have been your lead, which is that it's on Elliot Wolf with some input, I'm guessing, from Gerard Mayo. I know it's very collaborative around here. But what do you do to improve this football team in the offseason? So
that's the most important thing. Like, when you start to look at the football team in the direction of Curtis and I both agree, if you start at Drake May, you're maybe in the mix for a potential playoff spot. So if you look at that and you go, okay, we're in the mix. Now there's a chance we probably won't get there. This offseason, if we start adding known commodities around Drake May, there's a legitimate chance that you are now in the mix for a playoff spot or even greater than that. AFC Championship or even Super Bowl. No one, like, if you look at the NFC right now, I think there are people that could say Washington could be in the NFC Championship.
Yep.
Right? So you're not that far off when you have the quarterback. This year's draft, if you look at the prospects, there's none of these like glaring like five wide receivers where you're like, oh, we're picking at 16. If that guy will fall into our lap, he'll be a game changer. So now it's more important for Elliott Wolf to hit on free agents that are available, and or trading for disgruntled, established, good players that might be looking for a change of scenery.
If you were of the mindset that it was going to be difficult to get free agents to come here, has that changed purely because of Drake May?
I think it does.
It has?
Yep, because we've seen it in Washington with Jaden Daniels.
How many wins do you think you absolutely need to make it into the playoffs?
10.
You do?
Maybe 9. You can sneak in with 9.
Because if they split with the Bills, there's a chance.
The Bills are good, though.
I know.
Let's not get ahead
of ourselves.
Right.
The Bills may also have nothing to play for in Week 18.
Right. Exactly, Shime.
But let's not get, like, it's a great win, but we don't know what Patriot team is going to show up next week against the Rams.
Yeah, I need them to win. They haven't won consecutive games since 2022.
I mean, slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
but I do appreciate the optimism. Yeah. I have no optimism about the offseason. Another thing, I was got a little info this weekend. We did a whole thing on Saturday's show about Van Pelt being gone. I've been told he's not going anywhere. So
really?
Yeah. So not a great day to rip Van Pelt. I thought the offense was okay. But the idea that he was this one year, you know, he is here, I believe, barring some unforeseen tragedy to the offense. So you'll see Van Pelt, which I actually, if you're going to keep Mayo around, then at least you have Drake May with the same coach for two straight years. But I don't know the exact reasoning, but I don't believe Alex Van Pelt was hired knowing that he could be fired at the end of the year, unlike other areas of the coaching staff where you could see more change.
And I don't know how much of this was just the fact that it was the Bears, but they were able to get the run game going, not only with Ramondre, but Jamichael Hasty, I think, had some good runs yesterday. Do you feel like Alex Van Pelt did a more than manageable job when it came to game plan yesterday?
I think it's so much about the health of Ramondre Stevenson, and I think we all take that for granted. The way he ran yesterday, it's a different offense when he's healthy, and I don't know whether he was just better rested or I don't know what happened. It's not like the Bears have a fast turf, but when you're able to use Gibson as the change of pace back and Ramondre is able to get those first and second down runs, how many times yesterday was it second and three, second and four, third and one, whereas it felt like for the weeks leading up to yesterday, they were always behind because they'd have a snap, you know, first down be a false start, first and 15, then it's third and six and you punt on after an incomplete pass. The offense was so different with Ramondre, and I thought Van Pelt had a good pace. There was actual, like, I don't know, it was.
And who else can dial up a double reverse throwback screen?
Right.
I kind of agree with Curtis that I think Van Pelt is an Elliott Wolf guy, and I don't think they're going to pull the plug on him after one season. Like, you start to see some of the coaches out there, like maybe Mark Davis, because you bring in Brady, it's a new guy, pulls the plug on Antonio Pierce after his first season, right? I just don't see, like, and we've seen some offensive coordinators get fired already, but I don't know if we've seen a guy in their first year get fired that after the first year who's brought in by the GM, and I don't know. I kind of agree with you. I don't think Alex Van Pelt's going anywhere.
He wasn't the number one choice. He was the only guy who essentially wanted the job. Like, that changes based on Drake May. There are going to be guys who want this job.
Right. But what's the difference though prior to that? Don't you think the offensive coordinator who was interviewing after the season, and let's call it what, February? Is interviewing, or even March, right, is interviewing. Don't you think they're going, hey, we're probably going to take a quarterback with the top three pick. It's either going to be Drake May or Jaden Daniels. Don't you think that offensive coordinator that they're interviewing knows that and goes, okay, at least I know what I'm walking into?
Yeah, but
Then why do you think that when the people that they were trying to get to take the job wouldn't take it? What do you think it was about?
I'm fearful that it's the same reason Breslow was the last choice that signed with the Red Sox as the GM, that they saw Henry and Kraft as not spending, that there wasn't an intention to bring the payroll to a place it needed to be.
There's also uncertainty about the head coach. Like, you've got a first-year head coach.
I think Curtis is spot on. Because if you're the OC and you come in and you go, okay, we got the number three overall pick, but we got nothing else around them, it really doesn't matter how good I am as an offensive coordinator because I got a rookie and no talent around them.
And if you look at the jobs that are going to open up this year, every coach that has a scintilla of offensive genius associated with him will be given a head coaching job because organizations now value that and they want to bring in a young offensive mind because that way, if you're successful, he's not going to jump ship in a year or two to take a head coaching job.
Right, you also might have some guys like Brian Daboll who are looking for jobs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Who would want that job.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's your best bet.
Yeah, or Josh McDaniels.
That is your best bet. If you're looking, don't look for the young up-and-coming guy. Because, if they do have success, then they're on to the next job. It is the Brian Daboll's, the Josh.
I think that helps Jerod Mayo also. Like, you get that that veteran coach presence
right
there.
And I don't know if Josh McDaniels is – but it is the guy similar to that who have had head coaching experience. It's not worked out, but they're – it's that whole saying, you're a better coordinator than you are a head coach, and maybe McDaniels, maybe Brian, because we know what Daboll did with a guy like Josh Allen. Look at some of those guys where you can go like, okay, maybe we go after one of them than the young up-and-coming guy. They're not going to get a Bobby Slowick or a Ben Johnson because those guys are going
to
be head coaches.
And look at all the jobs that are going to open up. Already the Jets are going to have to hire a new coach. I think the Dolphins may.
No.
The Jaguars definitely.
Well, there's another one.
The Saints job's open already.
The Saints job, you got two.
Mike McDaniel.
Half
Miami.
Of the AFC, NFC East teams and the Giants and the Cowboys both going to be
He's
looking for coaches.
He's not going to be gone.
No, but if he is gone, he could potentially.
He has the Tua excuse for this season.
Yeah, but you never know, though.
That coach is all horned up for big stories. Owner, Stephen Ross.
But if he is gone, he's potentially one of those offensive coordinator candidates you could go after.
You just can't vape here.
I think maybe you could vape, but maybe not flavors. But those are the guys I think you would start to look at.
Right.
Those guys that have, I don't know, like a guy like maybe Doug Peterson, if he's gone in Jacksonville.
No, thank you.
There's a chance that Jerod Mayo.
As an OC?
No.
As an OC, you wouldn't want him.
Who's this?
Doug Peterson. As an OC.
I'd rather Boomer's boy, Frank Reich, as an OC. Yeah. But if there's a chance next year that Jerod Mayo is the second longest tenured coach in the division.
All right. It's a Patriots Monday, and we are at Gillette Stadium. We will talk with Boomer Esiason coming up in about 15 minutes at 8, and then Jerod Mayo at 9 on a Mayo Monday at WEEI. Chime, you son of a gun. I saw that yesterday was the anniversary of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Is that why you played that this morning?
It is, and I want to shout out Courtney's wonderful husband, Santo. It was his suggestion that we play this today in honor of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Let it breathe a minute for Santo, then.
November turned gloomy with a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty. That good ship and true was a bone to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
Well, the man knows music, Santo. He needs to put his foot down a little bit more when it comes to running the household. I saw that the Christmas tree went up yesterday, which is a massive fail. We're weeks away from Thanksgiving. And it is bad luck to have that baby up.
Bad luck?
Yes.
No, it's not. Thanksgiving's late, so there's only 3 weeks in between the two. So we put it up then. And Santo had a great day yesterday. He put up the tree, then went out with his friends. He and Tom Fee, his friend Tom, put together a little bar outing in remembrance of the 29 lives lost.
They had an Edmund Fitzgerald day out?
Yep.
Oh,
L Street.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. That's, so
any excuse, Curtis. Any excuse
Believe
for
me.
A day out.
Hey, 8 a.m. on a Tuesday was the meet when I honored the Edmund Fitzgerald.
So how long did it, like, just the, never mind the tree, but the pillows and the little toy soldiers, the gold toys, how long did it take you to get all of that stuff set up? It looked like it would have taken 3 or 4 hours.
Oh, it was a full day.
Oh, it was a full day.
It was a full day because we needed certain command strips to hang things. Yeah. And
all
it
right.
looks lovely.
Well, it looks lovely.
We are,
well done.
We are at Gillette Stadium. It is a Patriots Monday. Gerard Mayo coming up at 9 or so this morning with us. This is Walter from Boston. Hey, Walter, what's going on?
Hey, like, Wiggy is right. It's like, we don't know what Alex Van Pelt is because he's playing with a bunch of number threes. If you, T. Higgins is going to be available this year because Cincinnati's not going to play him and Josh. You have to get a guy like that because they're putting their number ones on Boutte and then the rest of them guys can't get open. If there was a true alpha on that team, there would be a totally different team. You know what I'm saying? So this offseason should be about getting an alpha, right?
Yeah.
And then in the draft, there's three good tackles. You take that in the first round. The kid from Purdue might be better than the other two that everybody's talking about. And then you do what Wolf always says, draft somebody else, another couple receivers down the line, because we don't know what Van Pelt. Look what he did with Cooper last year when he had a true number one. It was a better offense.
All right, courtesy by that argument that it's not fair to judge Alex Van Pelt based on the roster that he has.
I guess, yes. I would say that the pre-snap penalties and the shooting themselves in the foot is something that he has ownership of, just like the quarterback. But Shime said this to me. So I said that the third downs were much more manageable. They actually, 10 of 14 on third downs yesterday, and they were all, 10 of the 14 third downs were of 5 yards or shorter to go. So that's how this offense has to be successful. That's how you get a young quarterback to be successful. I just don't want to deal in the draft the whole time. I want to get a known commodity as a left tackle. I want to draft the kid from BC, Pete Kendall's son. I think he'll be a great, like, second, third round pick, interior lineman for the Patriots. They have great success with BC guys as centers and guards, so I would be all for that.
This is David from Florida. Hey, David.
Morning.
What's up?
Hello.
Hey.
So, what was that? What was that, Christopher? Jeez Louise, give me a chance at least.
Well, he wants you, to have your, he wants you to have your radio turned down.
You know, it's not your first rodeo here.
But, yeah, go ahead. What's up?
You know, so, the difference with the Patriots and the Red Sox not spending is that the Patriots, I think, it actually makes a somewhat sensible because they're starting over with a rookie quarterback, and they want to take time for things to gel first before they go out and spend a lot of money. The Red Sox, I mean, they're a veteran team. They're a veteran team, and I think that's a significant difference between the two.
Yeah. Thank you. I would expect that. I mean, this is. It's on Robert Kraft. You can't blame Bill Belichick anymore. You have the quarterback. And so you should be – you have a lot of money. You got a lot of cap space, Curtis, whether that is valid or not.
It is not, but it is certainly something they have used in the past.
But so they should be spending. They should be spending in the, like
Wiggy,
drunken sailors.
I agree.
Burn some cash.
I would love to be a drunken sailor. Wiggy, you're a football player.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but if you have a young quarterback – wouldn't it be better to get that high-priced left tackle from the start so they gel together?
Yeah.
Like, it's not an excuse that it's a young team and you don't want to invest in it.
You always want to spend more money when you have a young quarterback because sooner or later that phone is going to ring for your young quarterback that looks like he potentially has everything it takes to be really good, where that phone's going to ring and you're going to have to pay this guy. So you might as well get some guys, spend some money early, build some guys around them, and then as his number starts to rise and when his opportunity comes for a payday, then you factor in, okay, who can we do without, who can we potentially trade to open up some money and, you know, extend Drake May? Because based off the way it goes, that's what it looks
like. And the last time they made the playoffs, they spent $250 million, and Mac Jones won 10 games.
Yeah. All right. It's a Patriots Monday. We're going to talk to Boomer Esiason next about the New England Patriots, but also about the disarray of the New York Jets and the rest of the NFL. Week 10, we'll get to Boomer Esiason next.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy.
Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.